It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
What's in it may shake the confidence and trust of the American people in the FBI. These new documents are raising questions this morning about the true motivations of the FBI officials involved in Flynn's case. On the final page of handwritten notes obtained by Fox News, these are notes made by the former FBI head of counterintelligence, Bill Priestap, after his meeting with then-FBI Director James Comey and Deputy Director Andy McCabe regarding interviewing Michael Flynn. Priestap wrote this, quote, "What's our goal? Truth and mission? Or to get him to lie so we can prosecute him or get him fired?" In this one, he also wrote, "If we're seen as playing games, White House will be furious. Protect our institution by not playing games." Remember, Flynn pleaded guilty to lying to the FBI. He has since been seeking to have his case thrown out. His attorney, Sidney Powell, is now calling this an abuse of power, accusing the FBI of trying to, quote, take him out. No reaction from Flynn yet. Only this random tweet of American flag flying in the wind. Attorney General Barr is overseeing the investigation into the DOJ's handling of the Flynn case. And former U.S. Attorney Andy McCarthy had this reaction.
For years, a number of us have been arguing that this looked like a perjury trap. We're now seeing the paper trail start to catch up with what common sense has said for a long time.
And the chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, Lindsey Graham, says he wants to know more.
General Flynn deserved better from his government. He was willing to die for his country. The people who were involved in this, I hope, will be held to account. Attorney General Barr is beginning to right wrongs. There's a lot more coming.
We'll see what's coming. Sources tell Fox News that more documents are expected to be released in the coming days. Flynn's attorney says exculpatory evidence exists, but she hasn't been able to get a hold of it yet. The FBI has denied withholding evidence, but is not commenting on this last development. So a lot to process this morning, guys, but certainly a big story and a lot more to come.
All right. That was the story as told by Griff Jenkins this morning. And of course, this is a case that I've been personally invested in. I have to tell you, I have supported General Flynn. I've given to his defense fund. We've interviewed General Flynn at this microphone. Sidney Powell is someone I know. She's his attorney. I knew her before she ever stepped up to represent him. So yes, I have a personal connection to this. I'm not responsible in any way. I just happen to be in a place where I know them. And I am thrilled. Now, the case is not over yet because Emmett Sullivan, the judge, has behaved very badly. Sidney could not say that last week when she was with us, but I'm just telling you, he has been disappointing, would be an understatement. Emmett Sullivan, the judge, has basically called General Flynn a traitor in court and just went off on him embarrassingly and seemed to be completely disconnected with the real facts of the case. So what's happened is the Justice Department has had to get involved here. And because Mueller's team were the ones bringing all this information or this so-called evidence in conjunction with the FBI agents who were on their team against General Flynn, Sullivan, the judge, seemed willing to just take whatever they handed him. Plus, he allowed them to block what's called Brady evidence, which was evidence that the federal government had that would have exonerated General Flynn. They've been blocking it at every turn. So just to put this in perspective one more time, as short of an order as I can, General Flynn was accused of lying to FBI agents. We now know that those FBI agents set him up. That's what the latest information is that was released just last night to Sidney Powell. Now, this has not, again, gone into the courtroom with Emmett Sullivan. This is something that's happening outside the courtroom. But if it does not affect Emmett Sullivan's decision, then he's going to have to be removed from that bench. That's all I can say. Because they found out now that those FBI agents who went into the White House to interview General Flynn just his second day on the job, maybe his first day on the job. They did not tell him that they were interviewing him or interrogating him because of some potential offense. They just pretended as though they were coming in to chat. In fact, James Comey was pretty cavalier about it. He actually said publicly in an interview with an MSNBC reporter, it was on a stage, a public event. This is clip one. Just hear James Comey about how smug he was about how he sent those agents in. Clip one.
You look at this White House now, and it's hard to imagine two FBI agents ending up in the sit room. How did that happen?
I sent them. Something I probably wouldn't have done or maybe gotten away with in a more organized investigation, a more organized administration. The FBI wanted to send agents into the White House itself to interview a senior official. You would work through the White House counsel, and there'd be discussions and approvals and who would be there. And I thought, it's early enough, let's just send a couple guys over.
Well, what you didn't hear was the laughter. They thought that was funny. He's saying because it was the very first few days of the setup in this White House and everyone was new, we thought we wouldn't really, you know, go with protocol. We would just send them in. And now we know from their own words and their own notes, meaning the FBI agents, this was their brainstorming before they went in to, quote unquote, interview General Flynn. By the way, Andy McCarthy and Andrew McCabe advised Flynn, you know, you don't need an attorney. The White House attorney doesn't need to be there. So it's General Flynn. He's thinking that he's having a cordial. He's a general, for heaven's sake. He's done more than these FBI agents have ever done in terms of his service to the country. So they come in to, you know, chat with him, take some notes. And he's happy to talk to them. He speaks freely. But this is what they're thinking. This is in their notes. What is our goal? Truth? Admission? Or to get him to lie so we can prosecute him or get him fired? The agents go in and they actually tell Comey and they tell McCabe that they don't think he lied. It's funny. I don't think the general was lying. And also, the agents went in under the pretext of asking General Flynn about his conversation with Kislyak, the Russian ambassador, which, as the incoming national security advisor, he had every right to do. In fact, he had a responsibility to make contacts and begin to build relationships with foreign leaders who were his, not leaders, but the people who were in comparable positions in other countries as he was. That was his job. And yet they wanted to accuse him of violating this ancient Logan Act, which means that a private citizen should not be negotiating or trying to do business with a foreign power. General Flynn was the incoming national security advisor. It's just, that was ridiculous all along. Plus, by the time they went in to interview General Flynn, they had already revealed the fact, they had leaked to the press that he had some conversation with General Kislyak. And General Flynn knew that, and they knew that. They had the transcript of it. General Flynn did not know that. I take it back. They knew that, and they had the transcript of the conversation, and yet the pretense was to talk to him about that conversation. The whole thing is just, stinks is just too kind a word. It is rotten, 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 corrupt, unbelievably corrupt. And so now we have one of the agents over there who is Dana Buente, who we learned just last week was one of the leaders of this whole thing, whose name has not been made public, is the chief legal counsel in the FBI right now under Christopher Wray. So, listen, heads have got to roll, and I expect that they will. So Sidney Powell sent a memo out last night, and she said, the government has advised us that more documents from Mr. Jensen's review will be forthcoming this afternoon. What is especially terrifying is that without the integrity of Attorney General Bill Barr and U.S. Attorney Jensen, we still would not have this clear exculpatory, meaning evidence that would help General Flynn, exculpatory information, as Mr. Van Grack, that's the prosecutor, the chief prosecutor, the one that actually ran the Mueller team, Mr. Van Grack and the prosecutors have opposed every request we have made. And that's where Judge Emmett Sullivan just complied with Van Grack and ganged up on General Flynn. That's my words, not legal terms. I'm just telling you that's what happened. It's an amazing time, and that was an amazing thing that happened just yesterday. So, but until Emmett Sullivan actually drops the charges or whatever he does, I don't exactly know what the process is going to be. General Flynn is still on the hook. What do you think his response was, General Flynn's, yesterday? Anybody want to take a guess? Well, Griff Jenkins mentioned it in passing, but he didn't really capture it. I saw it last night. In fact, I tweeted it on my Twitter account. By the way, I never say this, but if you tweet, I'm at Sandy Rios tweet. That's my tweet, Twitter account, at Sandy Rios tweet. It is, he was like scanning, it looks like the, to me, it looks like the mountains of Virginia. And so the camera is following the tops of the trees like from an overlook. And then it hits this huge American flag flowing in the breeze over those green trees. It's beautiful. That was his response. Nothing petty, nothing vicious, just Old Glory waving over those trees. That was very moving to me. And I think, you know, the Bible says that we should live our lives in such a way that we outlive the lies and accusations of our enemies. People can say all kinds of unkind things about you. They can destroy you. I think of Judge Moore in Alabama. I think of Judge Kavanaugh, Justice Kavanaugh. In our current times, we could go, I think of Jesus Christ. How about let's think of him? You know, living your life in such a way that it's so exemplary that the stuff that people say eventually just falls off like scales. And I think that's what we're going to see with General Flynn. General Flynn is not Jesus, and I'm sure he's not perfect because none of us are. But I'm telling you, he is a man of integrity. He served his country faithfully. He was the only person in the Obama administration to stand up to Barack Obama. Barack Obama hated him, told President Trump, before President Trump came into the Oval Office, you shouldn't hire Mike Flynn. Don't hire Michael Flynn. Well, the president, of course, did hire Michael Flynn. And they went after him immediately. Why do you think? Why do you think they went after him? He was planning on reorganizing and reconfiguring what he felt was a very deep state. And he was the director of National Intelligence under Barack Obama, and he wanted to sort things out there. And man, they went after him with a vengeance, and they have nearly destroyed him. They have destroyed him financially. They have destroyed his, he has lots of kids. And I think, you know, they're just a very close family. And that was the final straw for General Flynn when they threatened to come after his son. That's when he pleaded guilty to something he wasn't guilty of. And so that's how they got him. So it's just a major, it's a stunning story. And I guess it even, overrides COVID-19 information today, which maybe some of you are happy to hear something different. I think it's God willing, this is finally something that maybe we can see some resolution to. And I'm very grateful for that. Meanwhile, you know that various states are opening up today. Interesting to me that some of them are opening up while others are clamping down. And now I'm going to run out of time to play this clip. You know what? Here's what we're going to do. you know, I tell you every day, the information comes in like a tsunami in my inbox. I've got two computers, well, and I just can't, I'm printing from one, I'm printing from the other, and then I end up with a stack of things that no human being could possibly get through in time to talk to you this morning. But I have read a lot of your email and Facebook posts, and we're going to talk about that in a second and open up the phone lines, and I am going to give you some more information before I do that. But let me give out the number now so that we can get started this morning on phone calls. Our phone number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Yes, various states are beginning to open up, and I would encourage you to encourage your governors, your local leaders, and by that I mean encourage them. Some of you are having to fight, like in the states of Michigan. In fact, Governor Whitmer just prevailed in a courtroom against those businesses that were suing her for the draconian shutdowns. Now, I don't know if it may, maybe they'll appeal to a higher court. I hope that they do. But it's been a victory for her yesterday as she continues to clamp down. De Blasio has said some incredible things. If I have time, I'll play his clip where he's telling people they can't meet anywhere, and they're going to start fining and arresting people. It's just amazing. In New York, where the death total is, you know, way, way down, and we know now from stats that the actual death rate is like 0.01, even in New York. But de Blasio, man, he loves it. The totalitarians among us, this is their moment to shine, and they're taking advantage. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The AFA, Marriage, Family, and Life Conference is coming June 25th through the 27th. experts have lined up to help Christians make a difference in our increasingly wicked culture. Dr. Frank Turek.
If there is a God and Jesus rose from the dead, then the God who created the universe out of nothing is Jesus.
John Uhler.
One of the hidden things that few women will talk about is the long-term effects of having had an abortion.
Abraham Hamilton III.
I'm certainly happy that they didn't seek to regulate slavery. Can you imagine, Frederick Douglass? We need to make sure that the chains you put on the slave's neck are not too tight. We're regulating murder. We know it's murder. They know it's murder. We all know it's murder. But we just won't call it that in public. No, it's a woman's right to choose.
The Marriage, Family, and Life Conference at Hope Church in Tupelo, June 25th through the 27th, includes a children's track as well. Learn more and register at marriagefamilylife.net.
This is Pause to Pray, a chance to stop down from the daily noise of life and pray for our country's leaders.
Today, we pray for Ed McGuinness, Principal Deputy Assistant Secretary for the Office of Nuclear Energy. His office is responsible for areas of high national priority, including initiatives related to nuclear research and nuclear waste management. Galatians 6:5 reminds us of the importance of personal responsibility, for each will have to bear his own load. Right now, with this in mind, let's pray together. Almighty God, we ask you to guide Ed McGuinness as he works in the research and safe waste management related to our nation's nuclear energy programs. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pause to Pray is a service of this station and the Presidential Prayer Team. Join us as we count down to the National Day of Prayer. Details available at pausetopray.org.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. I need you to do something right now, folks. Text #250 with the keyword baby. We are in a crisis point in American history, and there is growing concern that the nation's abortion rate is about to explode. So I need your help right now to save the life of an unborn child. And that's why I'm partnering with Preborn, an organization equipping pregnancy centers with ultrasound machines. 80% of women who have an ultrasound save their child. So get on your phone right now, text #250 with the keyword baby. Text #250 with the keyword baby. By now, you know the Democrats and the mainstream media have come up with a specific narrative about the Chinese virus. They say it's President Trump's fault. They say hundreds of thousands of people will die if we don't follow the quarantine orders. They say we have to surrender our constitutional rights for the sake of public safety. And anyone who either questions or provides evidence refuting that narrative is silenced. Dr. Dan Erickson and Dr. Aaron Masihi are co-owners of an urgent care in Kern County, California. The other day, they posted a video on YouTube arguing that Americans should not be sheltering in place. They also said it's time for businesses to reopen and for people to get back to work. The doctors went on to say that what's happening in our country right now is not about safety. It's about control. The video received more than 5 million views before YouTube pulled the plug. Their video was deplatformed. Again, if you go against the narrative, there's a price to pay. I'm Todd Starnes.
Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Again, I really want you guys to take the fact that we constantly are briefing you and respect that we're trying to give you a lot of information and you're all intelligent people. You've heard in great detail telling people they cannot gather from all religious communities in their houses of worship. That's been gone for weeks. Telling people they can't even do services in a living room because that's going to endanger lives. We've been talking about all of these dangers and the fact that we're not going to tolerate them and we are going to enforce. We've talked about funerals before as well. That's why I'm so angry that we have given plenty of warnings, worked with community leaders to ensure they gave the warnings. And they have, by the way, overwhelmingly. Let me make sure this is crystal clear. I've said it many times, but I know there are many in this town who love to create confusion and division. So let me try one more time. I want to thank the Jewish community leadership. I want to thank the rabbinical leadership who have consistently said people should not gather for religious services or anything else because it will endanger their own community. I have seen total unity, and I appreciate that unity. And so it's up to everyone in every community to respect these voices of their city government, of the leaders of their communities. There have been clarity across the board. So what's shocking to me is that after all the warnings, something of this size would happen. And that's where I'm making very clear, unapologetically, that the next gathering will be met by summonses and arrests, period. No more warnings. And that's true in every community. Equal opportunity in New York City. If you gather, I'm not talking again about a few friends hang out in the corner. I'm saying if you have a large gathering, hundreds of people, thousands of people, they're not even going to have a discussion. It's just we're going immediately to summons, and if we have to use arrest, we'll use arrest.
Okay, Mayor de Blasio. Mayor de Blasio, who was recently seen in a park in Brooklyn walking with his wife with a constituent yelling at him, what are you doing here? You had to travel a distance to get here. You told us we have to stay at home. He's also the one. He also went to his gym. Remember that? So, you know, what's good for thee is not necessarily good for me. And I think that's the problem with totalitarians. They have a different set of rules for themselves. And it is ironic to me that de Blasio issued that harsh response after a funeral where the New York City police were participating. He was very upset that they would, you know, observe this funeral, even though, as I said, the death rate in New York is the chances of dying from COVID are still very low, even in New York City. And yet they love these totalitarians. They love themselves some good rules for you, don't they? And so I mentioned Whitmer in Michigan, Governor Whitmer. The judge did overrule the lawsuit that was brought by these businesses. And the response of the head of Operation Gridlock was, quarantine is when you restrict movement of sick people. Tyranny is when you restrict the movement of healthy people. And that's just common sense and very true. Let me just say that on by contrast, Kristi Noem, who's the governor of South Dakota, she never did issue any stay-at-home orders. She has not made churches. Churches have been meeting right along. She's just asked people to take precautions, to use their best judgment as free citizens to do what's required. Nothing has been required by the government. And so her citizens in South Dakota responded by holding a parade for her, a surprise parade. They had fire trucks blaring their sirens, pickup hauling, a stock trailer, concrete truck, construction equipment, and they drove by, where she lives. And she responded by saying, I'm so blessed to serve the people of the great state of South Dakota. So those are some of our just the various ways that people are responding to this, and I thought you might find it interesting. One other quick thing I wanted to tell you is that this Friday, a strike is being called. It's a walkout. I guess that's something short of a strike by employees at Amazon, Walmart, and FedEx. And, of course, they're striking for whatever they're striking for in conjunction with the International Workers' Day. And keep in mind that the left, I have not had a chance to tell you that Ocasio-Cortez and also her friend from Michigan, Rashida Tlaib, have been calling for workers to just not go back to work. Just don't go back to work. This is our chance, our great chance to, radically change everything. Because really, you see, you should not have to work. You should have money from the government. You should not have to go back to work. So the International Workers' Day is affiliated with the communists. And we'll see how many of the employees from Amazon, Walmart, and FedEx comply with this. It'll be interesting to see, won't it? And it will really be a damaging blow, given that many people, you know, can't get anything they need except through Amazon or going to Walmart or through FedEx. So this could be a really, really difficult blow that many of us will experience. All right, I want to talk about some of your email before I go to the phones. Our phone number is 888-589-8840. This is from, I'll use it. It's Dr. Brown. He is a medical doctor. He said he's responding to the exchange I played between Anderson Cooper and the mayor of Las Vegas. I think that was last week, where Anderson was so hostile to her. She was a Democrat, but he was just incredulous that she would not be shutting down casinos and stopping work. And she fought with him like a tiger, and very well, I might say. And he said, I'm responding to that. It was disturbing. I want your listeners to understand that COVID-19 virus, understand it by looking at the numbers. Nevada has a population of 3.1 million. And as of this morning, there have been 163 confirmed coronavirus deaths. Now, let me interject, Dr. Brown, that we're not even sure those were all just coronavirus deaths based on what we know now that the NHS or whatever we call, not that's the British National Health Service, the NIH, I'm not sure if it's the CDC or the NIH who gave instructions to doctors to count things as COVID deaths that were not really COVID deaths. So I'm just saying, keep that in mind. But even if it were 163 confirmed coronavirus deaths, that's 163 out of 3.1 million people. It's the statistical, it just doesn't even register. It's a blip. And then he says, the doctor says, in 2018, Nevada had 527 deaths, 527 from influenza. He said, most of my patients have been too frightened to make their appointments. I have friends who are ER doctors, and they compare COVID-19 with SARS, which is a serious outbreak, but we did not shut down the country for it. We need to get things back to normal. And I agree with you, Dr. Brown. You know I do, and I appreciate your expertise. I want to read this last one before I go to the phone lines. This is a story from someone in Michigan. My brother-in-law has spent a week in the hospital. He is in serious condition with a GI and prostate issue. It's causing him constant extreme pain. They're giving him morphine, but his pain is not abating. He needs surgery to remedy the condition, but it's not available to him. They want to transfer him to Sparrow Hospital in Lansing, but cannot. Why? Because the state of Michigan has stopped all surgeries they deem elective. The doctors want to do surgery, but can't. His life is threatened, but it's still an elective surgery, according to some bureaucrat. Sparrow Hospital is operating at 70% capacity, but that doesn't matter during the COVID-19 situation. He just waits. In excruciating pain, he waits. Now they're saying they may send him home and prescribe oxycodone for the pain. Can you imagine? Oxycontin, sorry. I'm getting my meds mixed up. Can you imagine? We can't see him due to the travel restrictions. And this, of course, is one of those inconveniences Dr. Fauci referenced. Insanity prevails. I think that's an excellent illustration of why we need to open up. One more thing I should pass by you. This is from Tina. She has a challenge about, I don't know what I said about wearing masks. I must have not spoken highly of it based on what she's saying here. I honestly don't remember. I know how I feel about it, but I don't know what I said about it. I probably said I don't like them and might not be wearing one. I'm not sure if I said that, but I will say that now. Tina says, as a Christian, why we should consider wearing masks. I believe it is Romans 10 that is talking about our weaker brothers and eating meat. Paul tells us to consider the weaker brother and abstain from eating meat if it offends the weaker one. In this situation, you are free to not wear a mask if you don't think it's necessary. But with all of the hysteria, many people aren't thinking very well. I think we should consider our witness to them, similar to choosing to abstain from a glass of wine. There's a time to make a point and be defiant. There's also a time to wear one, even if not needed, so others will be able to listen to your message of hope and peace. Just a thought to consider. Tina, that's a good challenge, except I honestly think that your comparison is not quite clear. And not quite accurate. You know, I think about it this way. I think I'll give you one illustration. If you, first of all, drinking wine is not the same thing as being forced to wear a mask. Drinking wine is like a recreational thing. Wearing a mask is something that is much more invasive and much more coercive. I think a better comparison would be if the government said that everyone has to drink wine. Let's try this. Everybody has to drink wine. And the weaker brothers around you, we'll say Christians now, of course, they feel compelled. They have to obey the government. And then you, because of conscience, don't want to drink wine. You just don't think that's quite right. And so do you think then you should drink the wine because the weaker brothers around you have drunk the wine and they, you know, you're kind of messing with your witness with them if you don't drink the wine? I know that's probably not the best comparison either, but I'm just trying to tell you, we don't just do things because everyone does it and then use that scripture as a reason why we must comply. Think about it this way. How about when the king insisted that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and the entire population bow down to this statue? And everyone, you know, all the weaker brothers felt they should bow down to that statue, and they did. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would not, and they stood against the king's instructions. And of course, they almost lost their lives for that, except that God spared them. I recognize that wearing a mask is not bowing down to a god, but I'm just trying to get you to think of it a little differently. I think you're reducing it to something that it shouldn't be reduced to. There is a lot at stake here. It's not just I don't feel like it. It's a part of this coercion that I see seeping into to our country that I am not willing. In some ways I comply, but in other ways it's like no, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. And I think remember that our country was based on personal freedom. In a good way, not personal freedom to look up porn or scream at people or behave any way you want to look, but any way you want to be. But it is a matter of personal choice to guard your own safety, you know, to wear a seatbelt or not wear one. See, I'm not even in favor of those laws. I don't think you should have to be forced to wear a seatbelt. If you don't know better, then go for it. You know, it's a free country. You cannot legislate every little bit of behavior. And so I don't think you can legislate even the wearing of masks. So I'm not a fan, but that should start some discussion, I'm thinking. All right, our phone number is 888-589-8840. Let's go to, let's go to Tad in Illinois. Good morning, Tad.
Good morning.
What's on your mind?
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir, I can.
Yeah, I hear... in the news that General Finn's broke, and that breaks my heart. I'm wondering, is there a GoFundMe account or something for that man that gave his whole life for his country and now goes into retirement broke?
Yes, there is, and I've actually donated to it. I think it's, one of my computers here went down, so I can't look for it in this moment. I've got something funky going on over here. But there is, it's like a Flynn Defense Fund or something like that. I bet if you Google it, you can find it. And maybe Adam and Devin can help me find it. And we'll put I will mention it again in just a minute. Thank you for asking that, Tad, and I'm with you. I think we should help him. Okay, Michael Flynn Defense Fund.org. Michael Flynn Defense Fund.org. So there you go. Thanks, guys. And thank you, Tad, for asking that question. All right, let's go to Rick. I'm going to calm down here. Can you tell I'm not calm? Got to calm down. All right, this is Rick in Arkansas. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning, Sandy, and you're awesome. And General Flynn's deal, awesome, awesome, awesome. I've got something along the lines of the Constitution, and I've got a question that is really bothering me. When it comes to accountability of these states who try to bring down the rest of the country, who want to sit there and completely wipe out the country financially, everything that's for the people, give it away. Why does the federal government and the rest of the country have to pay for their coercion, conspiracy? I don't understand that, Sandy. I really don't. And by the way, the whole thing is, as you said, it's an attack on the Constitution. The First Amendment, as everybody knows, is free speech, right to religion. There's also a very important thing in there, the right to redress government on a grievance and the right to strike them out if you tried to change and they refuse to change.
Well, I think, yeah, Rick, thanks. Thank you. Excellent. You know, I just think I don't need to tell you that we have drifted so far from understanding. We talk about a scripture, but we've drifted so far from our understanding of our constitutional government. Our kids are not, you know, required to study and learn the Constitution anymore. They barely know American history. And so this is the point in time. Where we have to, in fact, I was going to say this later in the show, but this is a good time. They sell these constitutions all over the place. They've given them away free. It's short. It doesn't take long to read. It's time for us to go back to school, each of us, and that's what goes for me too, and read so that we can understand again how the system is supposed to operate and go about the business of reinstating it. Thank you so much, and I'll be right back. Sandy Rios in the morning, AFR Talk.
Peter said to Jesus, Lord, What about this man? My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. At the climax of the account, when Jesus restored Peter's personal relationship with him and Peter's call to ministry, he saw John following them. Jesus had just predicted that Peter would give his life for the gospel when Peter said, "What about John, Lord?" Jesus responded, "What does he have to do with your calling? You follow me." With those words, Jesus hit a consistent flaw of the human condition. We derive value and self-worth by comparing ourselves to other people. Your ups, your downs, your failures, your victories were never meant to be compared to other people. We have been called to serve an audience of one. The only approval you need is His.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Governors across the country are looking to open their states in hopes of allowing those who have lost their jobs and livelihood a chance to get back to work. AFR would like to tell the stories of working-class Americans who've had their businesses and lives impacted by the economic shutdown. We would also like to hear stories of those who've had their religious freedom limited due to the various orders across the country. Email us at mystory@afr.net.
The book of Hebrews describes Jesus as our high priest, our mediator before God. Learn why that's so important as we continue a series called Fix Our Eyes on Jesus, Monday through Friday, on Truth for Life with Alistair Begg.
Truth for Life, weekday mornings at 11:30 Central on AFR and online at afr.net.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. The number one victim of the incarceration in place fatwas is the Constitution of the United States. Democrat governors have shredded it into tiny scraps of paper. New York Mayor Bill de Blasio showed how totalitarian he is by personally going with the police to bust up the funeral for a much beloved rabbi. Saying the time for warnings has passed, he loudly proclaimed he has a zero tolerance for the free exercise of religion and freedom of assembly and threatened to arrest everybody in sight. A crisis is no excuse to defy the Constitution. In fact, it was written so politicians would know how to behave in a crisis. Mr. Mayor, you say you have zero tolerance for the First Amendment. Well, we, the American people, have zero tolerance for you and your totalitarianism.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Gaffney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Ronald Reagan wanted to bankrupt a communist enemy seeking our destruction. He told our allies they could help the Soviet Union build a Siberian gas pipeline or they could do business with us. U.S. government lawyers said he couldn't use the International Economic Emergency Powers Act, known as IEEPA, extraterritorially. He ignored them. The rest is history. The USSR is no more. Now government lawyers are telling Donald Trump he can't use IEEPA to prevent federal retirement funds from enabling the Chinese communists' ambitions to destroy us. Yesterday, Mr. Trump acknowledged they're also trying to terminate his presidency. Trump China advisor Michael Pillsbury says the Chinese are laughing at us, contemptuous that we're so corrupt we'll actually reward them for their pandemic. If President Trump heeds the lawyers, the communists will indeed laugh all the way to the bank named BlackRock or Goldman Sachs. This is Frank Gaffney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Lots of email. I wish I had time to do everything. Can you tell? I wish I had time to do everything. But this is some great questions. I want to mention that April wrote in and says basically, I personally want to step forward and do something. We have to get together and fight them, and we will win. But how? I'm feeling useless. And then the same thing is echoed by Richard, who's a retired pharmacist, pharmacy owner, and he points to a great book by John Stormer written in the early 60s. He said it was Ronald Reagan's favorite book. He used to buy it by the case and hand it out to his friends. And it was called Some Dare Call It Treason. But Richard also asked me, I'm not sure we're not too late, but I asked the question, what can those of us who think like you and I do to stop tyrannical governments? Obviously, we do that at the polls, but I don't think we can delay what's currently happening until November. Yeah, so I'm going to give you, I haven't had a chance to, you can hear, I haven't had a chance to ponder this deeply, Rick and April, and I'm sure other people are asking the same thing. Let me give you just some things that come to the top of my head in no particular order. And that would be, election, like find someone in your area that you think will fight back. Find a governor who's already in place and, organize a parade to thank them for their good actions or a letter drive or, whatever. Don't think about doing everything. And don't think about doing something that has this huge national impact. Just do something. You could speak up against a mayor that's done something way over the top. You could, there are things, I don't even need to tell you, there's so many variety of things happening where you live that you could probably think of something to do in response. So I'm just saying start with something where you are and you'll be surprised. And also do it prayerfully. Always, always do it prayerfully. And step out. Just step out and do something. And you'll see other things you can do. I do think it is practical for you to get involved and engaged in the election coming up right now, whether it be the move to go to write-in voting in your state, because it's going to be there. Each state's going to have to decide it. Are you in favor of that? And if not, look and research to see how you can fight back and join with others. Maybe start a petition drive. I don't know what you can do, but I say start where you are. Identify the problem where you live, because you each live in different states with different problems. And do something in your local area and just see what happens from that. All right, let's go to Craig in Illinois. Good morning, Craig.
Good morning. How are you doing, Sandy?
Good. Thank you.
So one thing I wanted to talk about was, what they're talking about is comparing the flu versus the coronavirus. And we all know that the coronavirus number of deaths are actually inflated because of the way that they're counting them. But we're not really comparing apples and apples, because with the flu, there was vaccinations last year. But with the coronavirus, there have been no vaccinations. So to say that the numbers are the same, or that there's as many deaths or more deaths from the coronavirus, that's completely not true, because you had a vaccination for the flu last year. Now, how many more deaths there would have been had there not been a vaccination for the flu, I don't know. But still, you're not comparing apples and apples here.
Well, I don't think anybody's comparing apples to apples, Craig, and that's the problem. I think that a lot of deaths that are even flu-related, I've heard in some areas, there's as many counts of something as there are people, it seems, that in some cases, incidences of heart attack have evidently suddenly plunged this year. Now we know it's because doctors are being told to count everybody who dies who had tests positive for COVID as a COVID death. So we have, I believe, I read that we have, and I don't know if this is national or some other poll, but we have less flu deaths this year than ever. But we have more COVID deaths. So somebody's playing with the numbers. I really don't, there are hardly any numbers we can trust, Craig. So yeah, you're right. The numbers are not exactly accurate. That's a problem, isn't it? But the one thing we do know, we have in writing, that it's the CDC, insisted that doctors count all deaths as COVID if anyone died with it, even though they were dying of a brain tumor or a heart attack or a train wreck or whatever they were dying of. And that has skewed the numbers. We can be sure about that. I don't know if that helps you in any way. Thank you, Craig. I appreciate that challenge. Let's go to Mary in Texas. Good morning, Mary.
Quick about it.
Mary, you're very soft this morning.
Oh, I'm sorry. I have a comment to make.
Okay, make it quickly if you can.
Okay, it's about the unemployment relief package they've passed with the unemployment, the extra $600 they gave. I have a relative who works in a healthcare business, and she deals with employees, and she said they're having a lot of fake employee claims with the word disaster written on it, and these employees were never laid off. They were not working full time because of social distancing. And I thought every program our government has ever passed, whether it's Medicare, food stamps, even this COVID-19 now, we're finding they're cheating. Every government, our program our government passes creates fraud along with it. And the one where they added that extra $600, employers are finding out their employees are wanting to cheat too. And I think, you know, there's got to be examples. They need to go after the hospitals telling doctors to write down, you know, the coronavirus.
Mary, could I just encourage you to encourage your friend or family member to report that? There is corruption everywhere, but I think she should report that big time. Because the Congress, you know, right now, if I had something in writing, I would certainly pass that off to congressmen. Because they need to know what's, some of them care, actually. Some of them actually still do care. And that's a big cheat. And it's disgusting. It really is disgusting. So, thanks for bringing that to our attention. And please encourage the person that you know, to report that in some form or fashion, or report it for her if she's afraid of her job. I just think somebody needs to know that. Mary, thanks a lot. You know, Jim Jordan, I want to play this clip. He was asked, this is going to be clip 5. He was asked about this next stimulus package because, of course, they just passed one, a couple of days ago. And Nancy Pelosi is salivating, I guess, over her ice cream back in San Francisco since they're not going to go back to work. Are you in favor of another stimulus program? I mean, don't we need more money? And so this is what Jim Jordan said, clip 5.
Well, the best stimulus is to go back to work. The best phase 4 is to go back to work. And we're seeing states do that. So, I mean, look, we've already spent $3 trillion. And that was necessary because when local governments, state governments tell business owners you can't engage in your livelihood, you can't run your business, you have to deal with that. You have to help families and you have to help small business owners. But the best approach now is let's simply go back to work. And we're seeing states begin to do that. Our state's beginning to do that. Let's do that as quickly as possible. That's the best stimulus. That's the best bailout. That's the best phase 4. Go back to work. So we'll see what may happen as we go. But I hope we can just get back to work and get our economy up and running again.
Yeah, common sense. Isn't that something? And, of course, that's what would alleviate that corruption. Just make people work. They won't cheat with their own paychecks, you know. And if they can't, they're not on the government dole, they'll go out and work. It will be good for their mental health, good for this country, and it will bring people back into a line, I guess you should say. My mother would say that. Get in line. Get in line, Sandra Kay. All right, so let's go to Ken in Ohio. Good morning, Ken.
Yes.
Good morning.
Good morning, Sandy. You're doing a great job. God bless you. Keep it up.
Thank
there
you.
Was a Dr. Buttar. There was a Dr. Buttar, B-U-T-T-A-R.
Yeah. Yes, I know about him.
A while ago. Okay, he said that Dr. Fauci apparently authorized $3.7 million in 2015, sent it to China after our scientists decided to no longer study the coronavirus because it had a potential for dangerous for it to be leaked to the world. And Dr. Buttar claims that Dr. Fauci authorized $3.7 million for the study to continue, and it was sent to the lab in Wuhan, China.
Yeah, Wuhan. Yes, and you're right about that, Ken. That's not exactly a breaking news, but probably some people had not heard that. Yes, it was the National Institute for Health. It was Dr. Fauci, and they did send money to that very lab out of which we think this virus came. Yeah, so that's the man we all trust, Dr. Fauci. He's the dude, boy. He's the guy that's had all the attention and that has, you know, told us that maybe 1 million people would die, that we had to shut off, we had to social distance, we had to do all these things. And because who knew? Who knew at the time that he was saying all this, what his background was, how close he was to Hillary Clinton, how he said he loved her in email that we now have. Who knew all of that, Ken? But I appreciate you bringing that up again in case people did not hear that. Let's go to Karen in Kansas. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning. I'm telling you, I am so grateful for you. I've been telling all my friends that they got to get busy and listen to you and listen to your podcast throughout the day.
Thank you.
Wanted to a dream that I have is that General Flynn would be able to go back into the Trump administration. But the last thing I wanted to tell you is I was really brought down and discouraged when a little girl, one of my grandkids' little friends, said that if she could, she'd vote for Hillary Clinton. I just thought, oh, how brainwashed the kids are in school.
Yeah, they are. But you know what? Here's my motto, Karen, for what it's worth. I cannot tell you how many times in my life I have looked at what's going on around me and had this gut punch of discouragement. I think I just, in tears too, because I just feel it. And like, as I said a few days ago, I used to tell my son, don't mistake these tears for weakness, because the response has to be, Karen, to push back. Then what can you do? What can you do? What can you do in your world, in your sphere? What can you do to change that? Whose child can you talk to? Can you talk to your children? Can you teach them differently? I bet you can. Your grandchildren. And so don't let it discourage you. Let it make you fight. And that's my motto, and that's what I'm trying to get everyone to do. There will be a time when there's nothing left to fight for. I will tell you when that comes. There will be a time when it's too late. There will be a time when I think Christians especially will have no voice at all. We'll be just trying to survive. I do think we'll be at that point. I think the Bible predicts it. I don't think it's inevitable right now. I think we still have time to fight. I think God is hearing our prayers, and so do something, Karen. Find, just let that be a motivator, not a discouragement. Thank you. Let me just point out that I mentioned earlier that some practical thing we could do is kind of review the Constitution, and Devin so kindly pointed out to me that you can get that at the AFA store. So afastore.net, you can get that pocket Constitution, and just start reviewing it and reading it. I think you'll find it fascinating, and it's not that long. It isn't. So it's like just a little mini book. And so Michael Flynn Defense Fund.org. We'll put that on our Facebook page if you would like to help encourage him today in his long fight, you know, to be exonerated. Let's go to Morgan in North Carolina. Good morning, Morgan. Let's go to Ann in North Carolina and Arkansas instead. Morgan, I'll come back to you if you're still there. Ann, are you there?
Yeah, hi there.
Hi there.
Yes, I am. Real quickly, I was sent this link to YouTube about a nurse who said the deaths that were going on in the hospital, it's actually her friend. Her friend's afraid to speak up to lose her job, but they're not medicating the people. They're putting them straight on ventilators, and they're ignoring them. And then they die, and then they take them out. I don't know if it's still on YouTube. I didn't plan to come on this morning, or I would have checked. But last night, my friend had gotten it. I sent her the link. She got it. Then she went to send it to someone else, and it wouldn't go.
So are you talking about, we're running out of time here, and you're saying in New York State?
It was in New York City, she said.
New York City. Yeah, well, I can't verify that, but because we know what they're doing in nursing homes, because they're sending people who are COVID-19 positive back into nursing homes. They're forcing nursing homes to admit them, and they don't seem to care, and they're not treating the patients, and they're denying that there's any kind of treatment like hydroxychloroquine there, and they're not letting our old parents and grandparents die with their families surrounding them. Their people are dying alone, living the last few days and months of their lives in complete isolation without treatment, being infected by others. They obviously don't care. And so that story would not surprise me, as distressing as it is. Let's keep praying and keep fighting, okay? Sandy Rios in the morning, AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.